Hey, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. I hope this message will bless, encourage, and challenge you to walk into all that God has for you. So I hope you're ready for it. I'm excited for you to hear it. Let's get into it.
This series, that as we're closing the series, it's called, the sermon is simply called Coronavirus. Amen. It's called Coronavirus, but if it was not going to be called Coronavirus, a subtitle would be called Christ in Crisis. Amen? Christ in Crisis. So we're in a place where we can be saying, God, it doesn't make sense. What is going on in our lives? What's going on in the country? But you know what happens during a crisis? Crises are moments where things are exposed. Can someone say amen? A crisis will always expose what's going on, and a crisis will always expose what you are depending on. Amen. You know, whenever there is a problem, whenever there is a situation, a hard time, you are going to turn to what you depend on. Think about a child. When a child sees something scary, what is the first thing they do? They cry out, Mama, or they say, Papa, because my parents, their parents, are the ones that they depend on. And your place where you depend is also the place where you believe your victory will come. Where you depend is, I believe when I turn here, I will be okay. I believe if I call on this name, things will be okay. And what happens, again, I want you to know, church, crisis will expose what you depend on. Can someone say amen? Amen. I need loud amens today. Amen. Your crisis in life, the coronavirus, will expose what you depend on in life. You see, we all have a list we depend on, amen? And it's not nice to be on the list that people don't depend on. You know, there are some people who, you know, these people you don't depend on. When things are going hard, when things are being difficult, it's like, listen, I'm not going to call this one, I'm not going to call this one. But you can find yourself on someone's dependable list. But what is on your dependable list, church? What is the places you turn to when things are really going bad? What is the people and the things that you turn to? God calls us to turn to Him. And church, God does not even call you to put Him on the list. God calls you to put Him by Himself. And say, there's nothing else I turn to but Him, because He is all I have. But church, for example's sake and for the sake of what I'm trying to say, is on your list, where is Christ? Where is Christ on your crisis list? Where is Christ on the list of the people you turn to, or the things you turn to when things are difficult? Now, some of you may say all your different answers, but you don't need to answer, because crisis will tell you where Christ is. If you're taking notes, crisis will tell you where Christ is. I don't need to ask a family where Christ is in their family. I just need to watch a family when crisis happens, and it will tell me where Christ is in your family. Can someone say amen? I don't need to ask you, where does Christ come in your life? I just need to wait for a crisis to hit your family, and I will easily see where you place Christ. Am I making sense to anyone today? Crisis will tell you where Christ is. For each one of us, another thing about the place you depend on, what you depend on also has the ability to shape your identity. You know, all of you have a name, right? And you all like your names. Or some of us don't like our names. That is up to you. Talk to your parents in Jesus' name. That has nothing. That's a family issue. But your name that you have, you know that the name that people give you, your name even carries a bit of a presence with it. When people say your name, people sort of think something around that name. Amen. I don't know about you, but has anyone said that, hey, what's your name? And they say, my name is so-and-so. And then they say, huh, you don't look like a Sihle. You don't look like a Sihle, because certain names carry certain things about the name. And some people have asked people, do you know what your name means? Does anyone in this place not know what your name means today? Is there any, or you won't lift your hand, but anyone not know what your, you don't know what your name means? Oh, okay. But some people, you meet people say, I don't know what my name means, but it's so important to know what your name means and even ask people, why did you name me this? What was going on in this situation? Because sometimes even a name can shape your identity. Can someone say amen? My parents named me Kenneth after my father. Amen. Now, Kenneth, I went on the internet and I went to search, what does Kenneth mean? You know, I said, okay, what does Kenneth mean? They call you Kenneth. And then I looked the definition of Kenneth. I was given the name, it was given to me. On the internet, what it says, on the internet, it says handsome. It's not that I said anything. I don't know what my parents were saying, if it was a statement of faith, but it says handsome, and you can just, amen. You don't have to agree or not. I'm not asking for comments, but it says handsome. But then, I'm named after my father, so it's Kenneth Jr. Jr. is not my name, it's just a title for the sake of differentiating between myself and my father, that he is older. I'm the younger, named after him. My second name is Pono. It means vision. It means vision. And then my surname. So those are my two names. And sometimes people would even meet me, and not so much about Kenneth, but sometimes people would say, Pono, it means vision. And some people would say, you know, I sort of see that in your life. I sort of see that about you. You sort of have this thing. Or I walked into a place once. It happened one time when I introduced myself, and someone was like, oh, Kenneth, that's a name. And I was like, okay, no, I guess it's a name. But those names were given to me by someone or by people who I depended on, by my parents. And what you depend on will give you a name. Some people depend on alcohol. And if you are depending on alcohol, that alcohol will begin to shape your identity. If you depend on doctors, how you live your life will be shaped by the fact that you depend on them. So I want to ask you today, church, if you look at the coronavirus, if you look at your life in crisis, what is it that you are depending on? Can someone say amen? Can you look to the person next to you and say, what do you depend on? What are you depending on? We are going to go to the book of Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to see stories from the life of Jacob, of how he depended on Christ and what happened to him in the time of crisis in his life. So Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 to 17. It says, it reads like this. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached heaven. And behold, the angels of the Lord were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, the son, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you, and in you, and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome it is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Can someone say amen? What Jesus was simply saying was, in this moment, you are in a bit of a crisis, but he was simply telling Jacob that from your family, from your bloodline, Christ will come. Amen. when he's speaking about the offspring, it's speaking about all the people who are going to be blessed from generation to generation, Jacob. Now, you are in a crisis, but what is going to come from your life is going to be a blessing from generation to generation. Church, I want you to know that in the life of the believer, that what God is doing through your life is meant to bless generations. You see, sometimes we think that this story is about you, but the story is about God. Can someone say amen? And we are simply playing a part in the big story that will give God glory at the end of time. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
But how did Jacob get to this place? Some of us know the story. Simply, Jacob was a twin. In Jesus' name. He was a twin, and his older twin was Esau. Now, we know about Abraham. Abraham was the grandfather. Then there was Isaac. Isaac married Rachel. They had children. They had twins, and the twins were Jacob and Esau. Now, there was a time when Isaac was getting old. Now, what would happen in those days was there was a thing called a birthright and a family blessing, and it was a very big and important thing. Now, that would go to the oldest son. Amen. But Jacob did not like that. Jacob wanted the blessing for himself. So there was a time when Esau was going out, and he was a hunter. He would go out and hunt and do hard work on the field. And Esau, he was good at cooking. Amen. He was good at cooking, and there was a time when Esau was coming back from working hard, and when he got back, he was hungry, and he said, "Hey, Jacob, give me some of the poiki kos there. You know, give me a piki poiki kos there." And then Jacob, because Jacob means liar. Jacob was a very deceptive person. Amen. Jacob was one of those guys who, you know, if you watch The River, he was a bit of a Tuso character, okay? He was always up to no good. Jacob was always up to no good. So he was trying to find a way to get the birthright from his older brother. So when Esau came and said, "Geme piki poi kukos," what Jacob said is, says, "Niemand, if I give you some of the poi kukos, you must give me your birthright." And then Esau was like, "Niemand, take it. Just give me the poi kukos. Geme the poi kukos." And then what happened was, he said, "Okay." He says, "Fine. It's a deal then. It's a deal. I'm going to take your birthright and you take the food." Now, on a side note, that's a whole sermon on itself. How sometimes people respond to what you need right now and you mess up things in the future. How sometimes you're so focused on the pain, you're so focused on your need, you're so focused on what's happening now that you sacrifice the bigger blessing for the smaller one. But that's another sermon on its own. But we see as time goes on, Isaac is getting old and it's time to give away the birthright. Now Esau still wants the birthright. He forgot about the agreement he made with his brother. And Isaac calls Esau, the older brother, and says, "Come, you go into the field, go and hunt, and then make me some poi kukos and bring it to me." And then Jacob is hearing this and he's realizing that Esau wants to go and make the poi kukos and get the birthright. So what he does is, as Esau goes out, he quickly comes in and makes the poi kukos for Isaac. He makes the food for his father and says, "You know what, I need to find a way to steal this birthright." So what he does is, because his older brother was very hairy, he goes and gets the skin of an animal and puts it around himself. Then he gets into the room where Isaac is dying and he's old. And he comes in and he says, "Yeah, pa, I get the poi kukos." And Isaac says, "No, you sound like Jacob. This is for Esau." Then he says, "No." And then Jacob says, "No, feel me. I'm Esau." So Isaac touches him and feels, "Okay, you are hairy. Oh, you are Esau," and gives him the birth right then. As soon as that happens, Jacob runs away. Because when Esau comes in, he finds out that this great blessing has been stolen from him. And Esau vows, he says, "I'm going to kill him." It was that serious. "I'm going to kill him for stealing the birthright." Because what that does is it then brings it back to Esau. "I'm going to take it back from you, and it means I have to take it from your life." So now Jacob was running away from death. Can someone say amen? This is where we find this dream where God begins to speak to him. We find him in the midst of a crisis. But then what Jacob was running towards was a man called Laban, who was also about to rob him, was also about to cheat him. If you read the story, read the Bible, it's interesting. Amen? You can read that in your own time from Genesis 27 all the way to until the story ends. So what happens is Jacob is in this place of a crisis where he has done something that's ended him up in a certain situation, but the future is not getting any better. And we can think of ourselves in South Africa, in the world with the corona crisis, that we are in a place where it doesn't mean that everything is about to get fixed right now. We have an uncertain future and we're in the middle of when the problem has started and we are not exactly sure where it's going to go. Can someone say amen? We're not exactly sure where it's going to go. But he was running for his life. Can someone say amen? Now, the thing with Jacob in his life is he was so used to taking things into his own hands. If he didn't like how something was going, he would find a way to take things into his own hands and make it the way he wants it to be. And it was something so deep on the inside of him that God had to bring him to a place to show him that, Jacob, you need to learn to rely and depend on God. Because you've been depending on your own way, you're depending on your own ideas, but it has been failing you. Now, in crisis, you can find yourself being like Jacob, where you're trying to take things into your own hands, where you're trying to take your own health into your own hands, where you're trying to take your own safety into your own hands. Instead of saying, God, I am depending on you, you can find yourself depending on sanitizers. You can find yourself depending on the news instead of truly depending on God. Can someone say amen? In crisis, again, crisis will reveal what you are actually depending upon. Crisis will reveal it to you and to the people around you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. God calls us when we are in a crisis to trust in him with all our heart. Can someone say amen? You see, I believe that in every believer's life, the trusting in God with all your heart is something you're going to do for all your life. You're going to have to keep learning how to trust in God with all of your heart. Because in crisis, what many people say is, I feel anxious. In crisis, what many people say is, I feel afraid. In crisis, many people say, I feel worried about a situation. I ask you, if you are trusting God with all your heart, is there space in your heart for worry? If it is all your heart, is there space in your heart for stress? If it is all your heart, is there space in your heart for anxiety? God calls you to trust in him with all your heart and not to lean on your own understanding. During this time of crisis, during this time of this virus, God says, trust him with all your heart. Remember how we spoke about Elijah, how Elijah was in the wilderness. And even though the wilderness was around him, he didn't allow the wilderness to get on the inside of him. Even though he was in a situation, even though he was in a crisis, he didn't allow the crisis to get on the inside of him. And this is what I want to say to each one of you, is even if you are in this crisis, don't let the crisis get on the inside of you. Even if there is a lot of doubt around you, don't let the doubt get on the inside of you, but instead apply God's word when it tells you to trust in him with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding, and to acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. Amen. Can someone say amen? Amen? Just because we are in a crisis, it doesn't mean we must let the crisis get on the inside of us. Just because you were in a moment of turmoil, a moment of a lot of confusion, it doesn't mean that you must let the confusion enter you. But God says, rather fill your heart with trust so that there's no space for the anxiety and the worry and the fear. Amen. But three things we learn in this story of how God brings us to depend on Him. Number one is God gives you God-given dreams. Amen. I don't want this sermon just to be about the coronavirus, but it's just about crisis and when we need to find ourselves depending on Him. But when we are in crisis, one thing that God does that you will depend on Him is He gives you a God-given dream. We see with Jacob is he had a dream. God gave him a dream, and sometimes God will give you a dream. Amen? God will give you a dream. And every time that God gives you a dream, sometimes it's about your family. Sometimes it's about something you'd want to do with Him. Sometimes it's a dream for your parents that they would come to Christ. God will give you a dream that you know that you can't accomplish in your own power. Can someone say amen today? God-given dreams are always dreams that when you have this faith arises in your heart about something, and it's something that you know you can't do in your own power. So God gives you a dream, and He will give you a passion about something, or God will make you see something, and the only way it can become a reality is if you are depending on Him. You see, this is how God brings His people to depend on Him. You see, we are all running on this race of life. We're all running through life. We're running in this race of life, but some people are running from their past. But God doesn't want you to run from your past. He wants you to run towards a dream. Can someone say amen? Amen. You see, there are too many people who are looking back and trying to escape things that have happened. Try to outrun things that are going on. Try to outrun things that maybe you've done, mistakes that maybe you've done, or the things that have happened to you, and your life is about outrunning things. But God doesn't want your life to be based upon the past. God wants your life to be based upon the vision He's giving your life. Can someone say amen? Amen. Even in a time of crisis, God is not calling us to be focused on running away from a problem. God calls you to be running towards your purpose. You see, when you are trying to, one thing that you must know about a dream that comes from God is you'll know that you can't accomplish it yourself. And when you try to accomplish it yourself, you usually fail. So Jacob, all his life, was trying to climb up a ladder. He was trying to climb up a ladder. He didn't want his brother to be on top, so he did everything for him to be the top guy. Every single thought on his mind was, how am I going to be the top guy? How am I going to reach the top? He's trying to climb a ladder. Now God gives him a vision and gives him a dream about a ladder that he should be focused on. And what's at the top of the ladder is Christ. He says, Jacob, you've been trying to climb a ladder of your career, trying to climb a ladder of respect that people must see you in a certain way, but the only ladder you must be trying to ascend to is the one that brings you closer to Christ. What was at the top of the ladder was God, to say your whole effort of your life, all of your plans, all of your strategies must have Christ at the center, not you. Can someone say amen today? God will give you a dream that will cause you to depend on Him. Number two, what causes dependence in our heart is God-guided discipline. When God disciplines us. Amen. Genesis chapter 28 verse 11 says, and He came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. The sun had set. It means that there was darkness around Him. And it says, taking one of the stones of the place, He put it under His head and laid down in that place to sleep. He used a stone to sleep. How many of you know that trying to use a stone as a pillow is uncomfortable? He was in an uncomfortable place. He was not in a place where he was enjoying. He was in the middle of a crisis. He was running away from a problem, and he was on his way to bigger problems. When we are in a crisis, even with the coronavirus, we are in a place where the problem was small, but it looks like the problem has the potential to grow. Can someone say amen? There's potential of growth in the problem, and Jacob finds himself right in the middle of it. But what does the Bible say about hardships? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, it says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are an illegitimate child and not a son. Besides this, you have earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For the fathers on earth disciplined us in the short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Can someone say amen? Like any parent would sometimes spank a child, there's a difference between punishing and disciplining. Amen? If a parent is hitting a child because it makes the parent feel better, that is the wrong way to discipline a child. A parent should not hit a child because it makes the parent feel better. A child should be corrected to make the child better. Amen. That's the difference between punishment and discipline. Discipline makes you better. Now, when we go through hardships, the Bible says we must endure, we must stand through it because we are being trained by it. Can someone say amen? Amen. So when you are in a crisis, God would sometimes discipline us by allowing us to walk through some hardships and train us through them. Because when we go through a hardship, what does that do again? It causes you to depend on Him. When you're going through a hard time, God calls you to depend on Him because He is the one who is training you. Can someone say amen? Amen. Can someone say amen?
Amen?
And the last thing that we learn, just for the sake of time. Number one, how God brings us to depend on Him in crisis. When things don't make sense, like a coronavirus, when things don't make sense, when we're going through hardships. Number one, He gives us a dream that helps us focus on our purpose and depend on Him. Number two, He guides us through discipline. He disciplines us through the hard time. He disciplines us through the coronavirus. And number three, we find ourselves depending on Him when God causes us to limp. Amen? When God causes us to limp. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, verse 25 to 26. Genesis chapter 32, verse 25 to 26. We see there was a time when Jacob had to come back to his homeland. But he knew that Esau, his older brother, was angry with him. Esau was angry for 20 years. And what Jacob did was he began to send people to Esau on his way to give Esau some gifts to try to make Esau more soft on him. So he sent people and said, "Give my brother gifts." And he sent more people, "Give my brother gifts so that he doesn't get too angry with me." But along the way, the Bible tells us a famous story where Jacob wrestles with God. Amen? On his way to yet another challenge, on his way to yet another crisis that he is going to face, to even the chance of dying, he finds himself wrestling with God. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, verse 25 to 26. It says, when the man saw, now they were wrestling in the desert, wrestling for a long time, wrestling. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Amen. As I come to a close. Now some people see the story, and the Bible says Jacob wrestled with God, right? And then the Bible says that God, scripture would suggest that was the representation of Jesus. God in human form is Jesus. So people say, was Jesus, where do you see Jesus in the Old Testament? There'll always be moments where the Bible will reflect signs of who Jesus was. Now when you read this, I remember reading this and saying, wait a minute, if Jacob was wrestling with God, how could the man say that he did not prevail against Jacob? How could Jacob prevail against God? Until I decided to do a bit of more of a study of the scripture, and I realized when the man says, or when God says that he did not prevail against Jacob, he was simply saying that Jacob was not going to quit. That in this struggle, in this wrestling, the man realized, God realized that Jacob would not quit. And the Bible says Jacob wrestled with God. It doesn't say God wrestled with Jacob. Can someone say amen? Amen. There was a wrestling going on. It was more of Jacob's wrestling with God than God wrestling with Jacob. Because the Bible says here, read the verse. It says, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket and his hip got dislocated. All it took was a touch. So it can't be that Jacob was winning. It can't be that Jacob was having more power over God. God was simply standing there and allowing Jacob to wrestle, allowing Jacob to ask his questions, allowing Jacob to be frustrated, and God realized that he is not gonna leave. Jacob was in a place where he had finally realized that this is where I must depend. And I will stay in this place because, God, I don't know what else is coming. I have been trying to take my own life in my own hands and trying to handle things, and it has failed me. And I realize I need to depend on you. But sometimes it's going to take for God to cause us to limp. And what does it mean when Jacob was limping? It meant that his body became sensitive. His leg, his walk became sensitive. His walk became sensitive because God touched him in an area, and his walk from that moment became sensitive. And wherever Jacob would go, they would say, why are you limping? And he would always be like, God touched me. And his whole walk from that moment, again, church, I want to say, it was sensitive. And even in a coronavirus, but even before this happened, I had been personally feeling that it feels like sometimes Christians are not very sensitive in their walk with God. I want to ask you, are you sensitive in your walk with God? Are you sensitive to where He is calling you? Are you sensitive to sin? Are you sensitive to His presence? Can someone say amen? Amen. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
It's important that we don't lose sensitivity in our walk. You know, there's even a thing where, as I was saying before, church, even in the whole midst of the coronavirus, the whole again understanding that is God not a healer? Amen. Does he not heal? Because it seems like sometimes we are more sensitive to the voice of the world than to the voice of God. We're more sensitive to the turmoil, to the struggle, to the crisis, than we are to the presence. And again, it reveals what we depend on. Because what happened in this fight, this is the last verse, Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. It says, then God said, first, God asks Jacob, what's your name? And Jacob says, Jacob. And then 28, it says, then he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Amen. You see, at that moment, what Jacob relied on named him. The person who Jacob relied on gave him a new name. You see, in crisis, when you're walking and you are sensitive, God will give you a name. God will give you a name and say that, hey, if you're depending on me, then you will be peaceful. Can someone say amen? If you are depending on Christ, then the name you will carry is unshaken. If you're depending on Christ, then the name that you will carry is confident. If you're depending on Christ, what people may try to call you, if you are relying on what the news is saying, then the news will give you a name of panic, of worry, anxiety. But when we look to God and we are sensitive to what His Word says, sensitive to the fact that He is a healer, sensitive to the fact that where we walk, He comes with us, sensitive to the fact that we are never alone, sensitive to the fact that His power is real, sensitive that miracles still do happen, sensitive to these facts, we get a name over our life that says that we will walk and we will be secure and we will be confident even in the coronavirus. We will be secure even in crisis. We will be secure even in sickness. We will be secure even in confusion. We will be secure even when we don't understand. We will be secure even when it doesn't make sense. We will be secure because we know who we depend on. Crisis will reveal where Christ is in your life. Crisis will reveal where Christ is. He got a new name. He got a new name in the midst of crisis. It's not only coronavirus that you're going to face. There's so many other things. But God calls us to depend. Depend. Depend on Him. Someone say amen. God's word to you is in this crisis, is depend on Him. And sometimes that's going to take some work in your mind and in your heart. Can someone say amen? It's going to take some real work. You know, there's sometimes you can walk through your life thinking you trust God, but if something hits you hard, it will reveal what's actually going on. You see, I don't think, you know, I was thinking as I was leaving the house today, and I was saying, you know, God, I don't understand what's going on in the world. Things are feeling very strange in the world right now. Things are feeling very, very strange in the world right now. And I don't understand it. I know you do, but I don't. But then, as I was just walking out the house this morning, just the scripture came to my heart that God calls us for such a time as this. Can someone say amen? And at that moment, what began to come in my mind was, God, you called me for this time. That for all of your believers, you chose that we would be born at this time. That you have trusted us with this time. That this is not so much a crisis, but this is opportunity facing us. That there are many people who have passed on, but they never faced this type of a challenge. But God, I am alive at this time. For such a time as this is when the calling over my life must come forward. The calling over your life must come forward. For such a time as this, God. God, I thank you that you have looked upon a weak and broken man as myself, and you said, I will choose you for this time. You see, sometimes we are believing the report of the world, and it's causing you to be afraid when it should be causing faith to be on the inside of you. When you should be getting a bit excited to say, God, for this time, is this when you wanted me to be alive, God? Is this when you wanted us to plant Faith Point Church in the crisis? Us. You see, when the church begins to believe another report, our faith dies. Worry begins to stir on the inside of us when you forget that you are in opportunity. You forget that this, that he chose you for this. I don't know if that gets anyone else excited, but I walked out of the house with a smile on my face, and I was driving and I felt so honored. I felt so honored, God, that you knew things were gonna shake in 2020, and you said that I must be born in 1991. So that at this point, I must be at this age. At this point, each person in this room must be in Faith Point Church, striving to build a church in a crisis, because he says that in each one of you, there is something that must come forth, that our work must be built while things are being shaken. You see what happens? How maybe even some of you, on the inside of you, a confidence has come up after hearing truth from God. Some confidence has arisen in you. Can someone say amen? This is why it's so important to watch what we believe and what we listen to. It's for such a time as this that you've been born. Such a time as this that you've been saved. Such a time as this that you were called. Someone say amen. For some of us, you will tell stories in history you're going to write about when the coronavirus happened. I pray that we would all have a story to tell future generations of what we did during coronavirus. I'm not saying we behaved unsafe, but that we were aware that God still wanted to move in the crisis. That if it meant for some of us, we don't know, example, if there would be a lockdown, would that not give an opportunity for you to maybe speak to someone you would not normally speak to? Or would this be an opportunity for you to tell people that we know that there is a virus, but we also know that there is a God? And us coming to church is a sign, and us showing you that there is a God. Can someone say amen? Again, I have not heard many people say that if we lay our hands on the sick, they will be healed. What I'm hearing is, don't touch me. Specifically the hands. God says those hands, if they laid on the sick, they will be healed. But God's people are saying, don't use those hands on me. What are we believing, church? What are we depending on? You're depending on the news. You're depending on doctors. or do you depend on God? The Bible always says in crisis, there was always a remnant. There was a few who trusted God. Always in the Bible, there was always a few. When there's a shaking, everyone says, no, we're not going to fight. There was always a few that says, I'll fight. When everyone says, okay, let's worship the other God, there was always a few to say, throw us in the fire. We're not gonna worship him. There was always a few. And may you be one of the few who trust in him. Amen. What do you depend on? What do you depend on? Can we stand on our feet together?
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I just want to ask you to please subscribe and write a review about what you heard, about what you liked, and maybe even something you'd like me to speak about in the future. And also, please just share it with someone else who you know would really enjoy it, or someone who would really just be blessed by the episode, or maybe just the whole podcast. Please, let's just spread word out about it. But once again, thank you so much. I hope you have a great day, a great week. I hope you're doing well. Stay tuned, because there's so much more to come. Take care. God bless.